those testimonies were absolutely fabulous, because what I just want to talk today about really is living by faith, and if nothing else, what you get from those testimonies is God cares for us intimately, but actually he is faithful. And so that's a really thrilling sort of testimony to start us off, really, because we've looked over the last few weeks at how important it is that we have proper foundations in our lives. And all of our walk with God revolves around living differently than we've ever lived before. Because before we know Jesus, before we're in a relationship with God, we live according to the world's ways, which is we work things out, we control things, we know exactly what's going on, we're in charge, we like to have everything in order. We need to know, because that's the way that things function in life. And when we come into a relationship with God, things need to change, because God says we need to live by faith. And that is completely and utterly different to anything that we've ever done before. And we come to God broken, wounded, with all our filters, our coping mechanisms, our defences, everything in place that where we have learnt how to live. And suddenly, God enters into our life and he says, I love you, I care for you, I have plans for you, give me control, surrender to me and see what I do in your life. Well, it's not quite as easy as it sounds, is it? So today we're just going to look at that and what that lives like. What that looks like. There are two aspects to our relationship with God, and the most important one for us is relationship. It is beyond anything else. What we need to do is build a relationship with God where we know that we know that we know that he loves us, he is for us, that we're his children, that he has plans and purposes for us. And from that place, God then starts to show us his purpose for our lives. And there is responsibility involved in that, which is incredible. It's like Mike's taking people in there, talking about expanding mountains. Well, that's to do with authority and government. That's to do with the things that God's called us to do. But before we focus on that, we need to know who we are as God's children and what it looks like to live God's way, which is, as I say, walking by faith. So, it's time. And we're purple again today. So, faith, according to Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the assurance of things you've hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. That means we need to really be in a place with God where we know what he says is true, regardless of whether we see it or not. This is the Passion Translation. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. See, a lot of things in our relationship with God and in our Christian walk, we can't see them. And that's where faith comes in, because we need to develop a way of believing what God says, even though we can't see it yet, which is where the contradiction is with how we live in our natural lives. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke in faith, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So before this realm, in eternity, there was the spirit. God is a spirit. And from the spirit realm, this realm was created by God's word. When we're not walking with God, or before we know God, we don't have access into that. But the minute that we become Christians, we have access into that realm. And that's what we need to learn to do. So we need to learn to walk our lives by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your doing, it's the gift of God. The fact that we have a relationship with Jesus, we have done by faith. We have believed what Jesus did for us, and we have accepted that by faith. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill over into Thanksgiving. Now, becoming a Christian, there is a point in our lives where we make a decision that we want to follow God. But that is the beginning. That's not it. That's the start of our journey. And what we need to do is learn how to walk out that journey with God. So believing what God has done through Jesus and who you are because of that, his grace, is the basis of faith. We believed that when we couldn't see it. We took hold of it and something incredible happened on the inside of us. That's the basis of faith. Taking hold of what you can't see and living in it as if you can. It becomes your reality. So really, very simple way of describing faith is living and acting as if God is telling the truth. Very simple, but that's the basis of faith. I'll say that again. Faith, in its simplest form, is living and acting as if God is telling the truth. Now, we all have faith here because at salvation, we asked God to forgive us and we accepted Jesus into our lives. We've become reconciled with God. We've received forgiveness. All of that, we've become a new creation. We embraced that by faith. We believed it, we acted on it. But that is not it. We now need to pursue and build upon that in our everyday lives. It's an ongoing journey. Now, faith is not the issue here, because everybody has faith. When you came in and you pulled up a chair and you sat on it, you assumed that the chair would hold your weight.
Yeah.
Haven't always.
That, in essence, is faith. You turn on the light switch, unless the bulb is gone, you expect there to be light. So we live by faith every day. So faith is not the issue. So we need to look at it in context of our relationship with God. So it's the opposite of doing things my way. Now, over the last few weeks, we have learned every single week, we have looked at forgive and release, we have looked at our identity, we have looked at our emotions and our mindsets. Everything we have done, there has been a change from the way we operate in our natural selves. And that change is my way or God's way. And today is no different, because walking a life and living a life of faith is not my way, it's God's way. So we need to come have an understanding of what that looks like. So it's the opposite of doing things my way, seeing, controlling, understanding, working it all out, having every T crossed and every I dotted. It's the opposite of that. And it works out in every way. So God's way is saying, I'm going to trust and believe God, what he says, even when the opposite looks to be true. Because as physical beings, we are subject to the physical world and the constraints around us. But the minute we become children of God, we are no longer under those conditions, because we come under kingdom rules and kingdom domain. A higher rule and a higher reign. And what God says, there is no limit to what God can do. So we need to get our heads and our mindsets out of the boxes that life has put around us. Now, God is. I'm going to say a few things. These are a few things that God is. God is faithful. He will never let you down. He's trustworthy. He keeps his promises. He cannot lie. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He cannot fail. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is a provider, a comfort. He strengthens us. He gives us all we need to live a life of godliness. He is a strong tower, a defender, a safe place, a refuge, a deliverer, a healer, our shield, our banner. God is love, a friend, a father, a guide, a restorer, peace, hope, sanctifier. He's all-knowing. He's our guide. He is light. He's a consuming fire. He's patient. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. Anything obvious that I've left off there? Because that's not the exhaust. Love is there. Okay, those were a few things that God is. Well, that's not a bad CV, really, is it? So, when we say we need to walk by faith and trust God, That's what we're trusting in. That is who God is. That is his character. So, God's CV is pretty impressive. The question that I have to ask myself and that you need to ask yourselves is, can you trust him? Because that being God's CV and the truth might not tie up with what's going on in your heart right now, because you may have some things about, well, he let me down and he didn't come through for me. And if you have some things on the inside, that's where we need to do some work. Because to walk successful, victorious lives in God, we need to have that on the inside of us so that we can live out of it. Unfortunately, most of us up to this point in time, we have wounds and damage that have caused us to mistrust, fear, where we've been let down, we might have been betrayed, we might have anger, suspicion, all of those things may be our life experience. So when you see that, unfortunately, what we do is we put our natural experiences, the things that have happened to us in our natural lives, we tend to put those on God and we see God through those filters. So Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Really, everything involved in our relationship with God comes by faith, and we need to get to the point where we deal with all those things that are going to trip us up, hinder us, cause us a problem, so that we know that we know that we know on the inside of us who God is, because then whatever life throws at us from this point onwards, we can walk in faith, knowing God is good, he is kind, he is faithful, he won't let us down. But we need to develop our relationship. Oh, another one? Oh, yes. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Now, for some of us, that might be quite a tricky thing to do, because it doesn't say if you want to, you can. It doesn't say, consider this. It says, trust in and rely confidently. Now, if you are going to rely confidently in something, you need to be in a place where you can do that. So during this sort of time that we have together, I'm going to encourage you, if thoughts come, if you start to feel emotion, grab hold of that, because Jesus wants to set us free so that we can trust in and rely confidently on the Lord, so that we don't need to rely on our own ways anymore, because that will hinder us. So we need to develop that relationship with God so that we can trust him, and we do that by truth encounters. This is not about head knowledge, quoting verses, being able to speak good words. It's about having a basis and a foundation and a reservoir on the inside of us that when things don't quite go right, or when we're in a situation, we've got something that we can draw on. If we listen to Carol's testimony, everything in the natural was pretty grim, wasn't it? Her daughter could have died, her son had had, you know, what if he was in the van? He lost everything, Carol was in the road. Now, naturally, what's the natural reaction? Oh my goodness, fear, where was God, why didn't he? But Carol has worked, and she has put truth on the inside of her. And in that situation, that's what she was able to draw on. And that's God's heart for all of us, to take it, to turn it around, to stand on it, and to be declaring truth from a place of faith built on the inside. That is not trying to clamber around for words that you've heard someone say, oh, God bless me, out here somewhere. It won't work. It has to come from the inside of us. So we need to work to build, to get it deep down, to get the truth on the inside of us. Because if we try and believe it, we strive, we try really hard, we feel condemned because actually it's not there, and we go down a pathway of faith anyway. Trying to believe doesn't work. You can try so hard that you put all your faith in having faith to believe. That's not it. We need to have faith in God, who is faithful, who keeps his word, who keeps his promises. So it's really important that we start to get this truth on the inside of us. How do we do that? We can read the Bible. We can read truth. We can read words. We can meditate on them. That means we just allow God to just show us maybe one word, what it looks like. We often talk about the Lord is my shepherd, taking that and working at it bit by bit, just finding a really safe, peaceful place. We can step into heaven. We can encounter Jesus. We can lie by green pastures, by still waters, and allow Jesus to bring the truth deep down on the inside of us. We can listen to stuff like this. We can listen to talks. We can have testimony. We can listen to other people's testimony. We can worship. We can just talk to God. There are all sorts of things that we can do to get the truth down on the side inside of us. Because as we do that, as we confess it, truth will start to grow and take root. And then as our faith increases, as our relationship with God starts to deepen, our faith will increase for different situations. So as I spend time with God feeding on those things, my spirit is growing, my spirit is getting stronger, and my faith in God and what he says will grow. Now, when we struggle with our faith in any way, it's not God that's insufficient. And we need to understand this, because we've looked at God's CV. He's not insufficient. He is the all-sufficient one. So when I struggle in an area of faith or my relationship with God, it is because my perceptions or my beliefs are not right. So we need to be prepared to think that, because sometimes we don't like to, because it's much easier to blame God. But if we're feeling that, then we need to look at our belief system and what's going on the inside of us, because it could be unrealistic or even wrong. Sometimes we expect God to do something and he doesn't do it, and then we get angry and we get frustrated. But actually, did he say he was going to do it in the first place? What was our expectation based on? And some of us who have had difficult situation with our natural fathers particularly find it difficult to believe that God is faithful, that he will be there, that he will come through, that he will never let you down. Again, if that is ringing true for anyone, you know, God is our healer. As well as being our father, he is our healer, and he wants to deal with those wounds that will stop us knowing him and having an intimate relationship with him. Sometimes it's easy to just trot along in life and everything is tickety-boo. The thing that will show us if there's a problem on the inside is when difficult situations arise, when trials come, or when the pressure is on, when things aren't going so well, because what's on the inside of us will then come out. And the Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So it's really important that we deal with the things in our heart, because when things are in a pickle, when things aren't going so well, we need to have life and truth that we can draw on rather than fear and chaos and emotions all over the place, because then it's much harder to trust God. So it's easy to talk faith. It's not so easy to live it when it's under pressure. Now, we are all in a process of transformation, and God goes deep. God goes really deep. We think we've let God go as deep as he's going to go, and then he goes deeper. So this is a process I don't think will ever end. We are all being transformed. Sometimes we think, how can I have anything else for God to deal with? How can I have any more things that God wants to set me free from? But I remember many times I've been in situations and I felt like I'm inside out, I'm back to front, I'm upside down, I don't know what day it is, I don't know who I am. You might think, well, that doesn't sound like God is good. Actually, it's because God loves me that he wants to set me free and heal me from those deep things that are often hidden. They're often buried, and they will hinder me from fulfilling my destiny in God if I don't deal with them. So if you feel in that place, join the club. For me, it's part of being surrendered to God and being in this process, that God will continually want to do things in our lives. So at times when the pressure is up, it can seem like we've got a bit of a sewer going on. It's not very pleasant. It can be quite stinky, can't it? We can have anger, bitterness, and resentment, mistrust. It's not fair. why is this happening to me? Why is God doing this to me? If we have that reaction, please let's be open and real about it and let God deal with what's going on underneath it, because there will be roots where we have been hurt or wounded or unforgiveness issues on the inside, which will prevent us from moving forward. So if, on the other hand, I have faith and words of life on the inside of me when things get tricky, I'll be able to draw on that. I will be able to find peace in the middle of whatever is going on. And that's God's heart for us, that no matter what is going on here, that we find our place in Him, where we can be at perfect peace and rest. Because if I trust God, then I can trust that He will do all things to work together for my good, no matter what's going on here and now. And it might be horrendous here, but actually God's got the bigger picture. He knows what's going on, and I need to learn to trust Him even when I don't understand, even when I don't like it. I need to lay it down and surrender and give Him control of my life. So the building on the inside, really, we need to do that when we're in a good place. It's a bit late when you're in the middle of a crisis to try and be drawing on all the positive things to build your spirit on the inside. That's why it needs to be a walk, a daily walk, where we need to be feeding ourselves and moving forward with God. Because at such times, we can sink or swim, really, depending where we're at. Because often, if our emotions, we've looked at emotions previously, if they rule us, when something happens which isn't very pleasant, if our emotions are what we go on, we lose the plot because our emotions take over. Then, if our mindsets are negative, we won't be able to bring our emotions in line. So we need to have positive seedbed that we can draw on. And confessing life and truth is really good. Because if you confess truth, you confess what God says, faith grows, life grows, those seeds on the inside of us will grow. If you confess negativity and lies, what grows? Negative faith, unbelief, doubt. That's what grows, and faith dies. We don't want that, do we? Now, I've had to learn to do this in many situations in life, and when something happens, talk to myself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You know, we have to talk to ourselves. I have to talk to myself. No, this is what God says. This is what's happening right now, but actually, this is what God says. Therefore, I choose to believe this. God has done this in the past. He is faithful. He will do it again. Now, it might sound a bit rigid, but that's how we train ourselves. In the end, it may be automatic that you just are able to just go that way. But we're in a process. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So speak out. Find verses in the Bible. We can give you some if you need them that will build your spirit, that you will be able to stand on and to cause yourself to be in victory over these things. The enemy wants us at all times to take our eyes off God. And when we do that, we go into fear and doubt and unbelief. Now, the good news is that God loves us anyway. And He is there with His arms outstretched, waiting for us to turn back to Him, to embrace us and to restore us. But it's often a really painful process when we go down that route. Jesus said, this is in Matthew, when they were in the boat and they were going over from one side of the lake to the other, and there was a big storm and the disciples were all freaked out, even though Jesus was there with them. And He'd said to them, that's where we're going. So He'd already said to them, we're going over there. And a storm came and they were all a bit scared. And He said, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? So we need to make sure that fear does not rob us of faith and take us off track of what God wants to do. But then He rose and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So He dealt with it all anyway. So if we do go into unbelief, if we do go into faith, if our emotions go all over the place, if we lose the plot, God loves us. He is there to restore us. But if we have those foundations in place, we can save ourselves a lot of trouble sometimes by just trusting and standing in what God says. So we need to realise that words have power. So we need to be really careful what comes out of our mouths. because their power of life and death is in our tongues, and we need to be aware of that. So it's not only what comes from in here, it's actually what comes out of our mouths. Grumbling, complaining, moaning at God, disappointment, those things have power. We need to realise that what we speak will impact us. We speak words of life and truth. It could be, even though I'm really struggling right now, even though I'm in a difficult place, I trust God that you're going to see me through this, is actually acting in faith. To say, I'm in a difficult place, I'm not going to cope, I can't go on anymore, it's all too much, I've had enough, I'm out of here, blah, 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 blah. Might be how we feel, but that is negative faith. That is not going to inspire us to be lifted up and to move forward into what God has for us. So it's really careful that we don't get into a downward spiral with the words that come out of our mouths, because there's power in agreement. And what we agree with gives faith. So we can either have faith for truth or faith for death. We can either agree with our natural circumstances and restrictions, or we can agree with what God says about us and about our situation. I'll never change. I will always be like this. Nothing good ever happens to me, for me. I'll never have any money. I'll always be poorly. If we agree with those things, we are giving them power, and we are empowering faith in the negative. Now, words have a frequency. And words of faith and life and truth have a high frequency. And if we speak those things, then we are going to resonate with what's going on in heaven, and we are going to release heaven's resources. If we speak negative words, then that has a low frequency, and that then attracts all the negative things to it. Well, we want to resonate with heaven, don't we? We want to be with the frequency, the fragrance of heaven, and so that we can bring that through us onto earth. God's truth can change the facts. Whatever's going on for you is real, and it may be true for you, but God's truth can change it. So someone can have terminal cancer. That will be a fact. God is our healer. There is no sickness in heaven. Therefore, God's truth, that he is our healer, can change that fact. And a miracle can take place, and then a healing can take place. So any situation that we are in, God's truth can change our facts. It may well be that we have been cursed, that we have cursed ourselves, that things in our families have been this way for generations. But faith in the fact that Jesus came to set us free can change that, and we can be free indeed. If God says something, it's true, it's true. I believe it because it's true. Believing it doesn't make it true. What God says is true. When I start to embrace it and believe it and walk in it, it becomes truth for me, and my life will change and my foundations will start to change. When you start confessing truth, any discrepancy on the inside of you will start to show up. So any area where there's a stronghold or a mindset or a coping mechanism that you have built up to this point in time, when you start saying the truth of what God says, you're going to hit a bit of a battle. That's okay. Just recognize it and then do your business with it. We have tools. We have forgive and release. We have court busts that Carol's talking about. We have lie busts. We can deal with these things. If you're new in this journey, grab someone and we'll walk through this journey together, because as you get more confident to see God do things in your life, you won't need someone else to help you, because you'll grow in faith and you'll be able to do it yourself. But we are here for each other. So if there's something you're like, there's something not quite right here, that's good. It means you can be free. The flip side is, if God doesn't say something is true, no amount of believing, confessing, standing on it, declaring it, is going to make it true. God does not respond to manipulative prayers. And we need to understand that. It's very important. Confessing something enough times isn't going to make it true if it's not lined up with God's word, his character, and what he says. That's our anchor. Everything that we're standing on in faith is what's in God's word. It's who he is. That is infallible. We can declare it in faith and know that he's going to do it. But anything that's contradictory, and I've been involved with some people who've said some fairly contradictory things and been really angry with God because he hasn't come through for them. Well, let me just get that one out there now. God will not do anything that contradicts who he is, contradicts what he says in the world. He's not a sugar daddy. Often I've heard people very presumptuous and say, oh, well, I went and I did this and now God's going to give me the money to pay for it. Well, if God says, go and do this and I'll provide you the money to pay for it, then that's a real step of faith, isn't it? Because that's God speaking and you're taking hold of it, acting upon it, and he's faithful, he will come through with it. If God didn't say it in the first place, that's presumption and he won't do it. Just get that one out there. That's a wrong perception of faith. But then what we can do is feel that God's let us down. Well, he didn't come through. He didn't say. He's not faithful. So we need to really examine our motives and our attitude and exactly what is it that God says. Because God's heart is to bless you abundantly beyond measure. He couldn't love us any more than he does right now. And it says in the Bible that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. That's fantastic, isn't it? But really, what he's looking for is that our desires are out of intimate relationship with him. So really, my desire is going to be what he wants for me anyway. That's the way that this really, really works. It's out of intimate relationship. Because the desire of my heart might be to have this huge, great, big ocean liner. But unless God said to me, if I could go and buy one, I probably need to park that one and leave that one behind. So God's heart is to bless us, but it's out of relationship and out of what he wants for us to fulfill our destiny. Also, sometimes we have a part to play. We can be believing for something that God has spoken into our heart, but we might have a part to play. And often people have been really frustrated, disappointed, sometimes with healing when it hasn't come. But we know we've looked in the past that if we're in unforgiveness, then we're in the torture chamber. Sometimes if God talks to us, he wants us to do some things and we don't do them, they can block what he's got for us. Again, it doesn't mean that God's not faithful. It just means he wants us to play our part. For sometimes, you know, people in the past, all sorts of things. It could be to do with financial breakthroughs, breakthroughs within family, breakthroughs in marriages even. You know, marriages where you wanted to see restoration and reconciliation in the marriage, but both parties are so angry with each other, it isn't ever going to happen. Well, our part in that is to deal with our unforgiveness, and then we can walk into God's blessing and being faithful what he wants to do. Sometimes God speaks to us and he drops a word deep on the inside of you, and you know that you know that you know, no matter what goes on around you, that God's going to come through and he's going to do it. That's really wonderful. And I've had a few of those times. So it's when we moved here many years ago, God very directly spoke to me and said that we were going to move here. And I had it. It was hidden in my heart and I knew it. And things got really difficult, but God said to me that our children would start school in September. And I held on to that. And it was a very difficult summer in the sense of houses kept falling through and things kept going all over the place. But I had it in my heart that God had said it. So we pursued it, we acted upon it, and the kids started school in September. That's really easy. Those things are testimonies that we can hold on to and we can build on for another time. Sometimes God drops things in my heart and I hold on to them and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And the absolute opposite happens. It feels like, well, hell's broken loose, you know, and it's just like, did I hear God? Did God really say that? And that's where we need to be really careful, because the enemy wants to come and rob, kill and destroy and snatch away those things God puts in our hearts. Because sometimes we're on a journey and God might drop things into our heart and we're not ready then. And he takes us on a journey, on a little adventure, where things seem to be the opposite. But if God puts it in your heart, hold on to it and go with it and allow God to do whatever it is that he needs to do on the inside. We need to focus on God and not focus on the circumstances. Focus on what he says. Faith is an action word. And somewhere on here, we have a verse that says, faith without action is not faith. Faith without action is dead. And that's the test sometimes of whether we know we are in faith and we get our walking with God, when everything here seems the opposite. Will I pursue what God has said? And that's the action word, and that's the test that we can have. We have to do that because they're inseparable. Faith and action go together. Otherwise, it's a statement. I was in a difficult situation one day, and I felt really weighed down. And I was focusing on at this level, and I could only see what was ahead. I felt like I was wading through treacle. You know, it was really hard going. I was really right down underneath it. I was focused on my circumstances, which is never a good thing when we're talking about walking in faith. But I was focused on what was going on, and I felt really discouraged. And God said to me, look up. And I looked up, and I could see light. And I saw the eagle, and the eagle came down and picked me up, and I climbed on the eagle's back, and the eagle flew up. And as I looked down, I could see what I had been focusing on, but from God's perspective, from a higher perspective. And God said to me very clearly, when you look at the natural, all you see is at your natural level. When you focus on me, or when you see from my perspective, and I could see, yes, there were difficulties all around, but there was a way out. There were pathways. God was making a way for me, but I couldn't see it because I was in the mud and the sticky and the yuck. So really, that's the moral of the tale. Trust God. Look up. Look to what God is saying. Hand over control. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see. So we need to hand over control. We need to surrender. We need to stop trying to work things out, doing it my way. Focus on God and what he says, and not on my natural circumstances. We're not talking about blind faith. We're not talking about being ridiculous. We're talking about having faith in God who is faithful. Something that really hinders our faith is memory. Things that we have been through, experiences that we have had in the past, can be a hindrance to us moving forward and stepping out in faith. Disappointment is a huge hindrance to faith. And I would encourage you, if you've been around churches for a long time and you've had experiences and disappointment has been a factor, deal with it today. Hopelessness, unbelief and doubt, they're the robbers. And dealt with, they will block us from moving forward into what God has for us. This is an interesting saying that I actually heard someone say this week. A pessimist is a realist, because they're never disappointed. An optimist has unrealistic expectations and there's always room for disappointment. And I was like, well, I suppose on a natural level, that's probably true. And each of us has a little bit of glass half full, glass half empty in us. But we are talking about God's limitless resources in this. We are not talking about us and who we are. We're talking about who God is, where nothing is impossible for God. He makes a way where there is no other way. There is hope for change in every situation. And quite frankly, it takes no more effort to say I can than I can't. And I'm quite good at saying, I can't. And I'm learning to say, I can. And if you look at it, that's often how simple it is. God speaks to us, he asks us to do something, or when we're in a situation, what's our natural? I can't do that. Or I'll have a go. Or I can. What we're saying is, God, this is you. If you want this me to do this, you will enable me. You will strengthen me. You will make a way. You will do whatever that needs to be done. Therefore, I'll trust you. And in a nutshell, that's what it is. There's a line in Robin Hood, and it says, if you want to be free, think free. We need to change our thinking to say, actually, God can do anything. There are no limits to what God can do. Testimonies are the most amazing thing. That's why we do testimonies here. Because testimonies stir faith. I don't think that anybody wouldn't have been stirred by any of those testimonies this morning. They were really wonderful. They were about God's love, how God cares for us, and about God's faithfulness. They are an anchor. We can take testimony and we can use it. On the inside of us, we have a garden in our hearts. And I would encourage you, when God does something for you, and I know God does things for all of us, take hold of that and plant it deep down on the inside of us. Because you can use that another time. I use people's testimonies here all the time. God did that for Nigel, he'll do it for me, because he doesn't love Nigel any more than he loves me. God has no favourites. And he wants us all to be able to draw on those things. So catch hold of them. And I have specific testimonies in my life that I hold God to. And you think, oh, how can you hold God to that? Because God is faithful. Because he says he will. He says he'll come through with what he says. And I know that when I was away from God, he sought me out. And he drew me and he wooed me back to himself when I didn't want to know him. And I hold on to that testimony, because if God did that for me, he could do it for anyone. Because no one wanted God any less than I did. And here I am, telling you how faithful God is. So I hold on to that testimony when I'm praying for other people or where I'm standing for other things. And natural situations seem to be going bonkers. I'm like, God, you got me. You can get anybody. That's what faith is, okay? Simple. It's simple. But it's no easy. No easy. I don't know. I cultivate that and I stand on it. Another one was really significant for me when we did move here. And it was difficult and things fell apart. But I stood on it and God proved himself faithful. 2 years ago we moved house again. It was a really rocky road. It was crazy. People kept saying they would sell us houses and then they kept changing their minds. But it was okay. We've got a valid one. When I moved here, I knew that in the end, the house that we got would be the perfect house for us, even though I thought each house was the perfect house for us. So I was disappointed and I had to deal with my emotions, but deep down on the inside, I knew that I knew that I knew it would be okay, because God was faithful, and he was. Obviously, as mums and people with families, you know, we just want our children to be okay. We want our children to be walking with God. We want to, you know, we just want our children to be in relationships, to be pursuing their destiny, fulfilling their destiny. And for me, over the years, I've been in my vulnerable area. And it's been difficult with my children. It's been difficult on occasion. And God said to me one day, not too long ago, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. And that went, boom, right deep down on the inside of me. And whatever goes on now, I say, God, you said, you take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. And it was a word that dropped on the inside of me. And I know that I know that I know God's got it. God's going to do it. It's all okay. Now, I haven't always been like that. But I have learnt to draw and to stand and confess. And I took Samuel's testimony when he came a few years ago. And that's Mark and Joe's son, when he stood here and he gave testimony. I took that. I said, that's the first fruit here. I'm taking that for my children. And God's responded. And God is moving within my family, which is really very exciting. So we need to stand on the things that God does. I would encourage you, get a journal, get a book, write things down, because you think you'll never forget. But do you know what? You forget. And it's really good to go back sometimes and see what God has done, to see where he's been faithful. Because often it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like in the beginning. Because that wasn't the journey that we were on with God. And it's all about our journey with God. So I'd encourage you. As we do that, it will become life to us. And we will just, it will be who we are. But we have to train ourselves. And it takes discipline. So on the inside of us is our spirit. And at salvation, that gets connected, reconnected to God. And it becomes alive and active. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they come and they live on the inside of us. And that's the basis of salvation, isn't it? God comes restored in relationship to God and he comes and lives on the inside of us. Well, that gives us access into heaven. So in our spirit, one way, we then have this flow where God is living within us, connecting us to heaven. And all those resources, everything that we need, then is on the inside of us. We then have a doorway called our first love. That's what we talk about it. That we can open every single day from the inside of us to allow that flow from heaven to fill every part of us. And that's what transforms us. That's where God's glory comes and it fills us. But that's not even enough. Because from our spirits, we are a spirit being that lives in a body that has a soul. And the idea is that heaven flows through our spirits, out through our soul, out through our body, and changes the world around us. That's God's heart for each one of us. So what we want to do is make sure that we deal with all those things that have shaped us up to this point in time. All those things that block that, all those things that hinder, that get in the way, so that heaven, all the resources of heaven, can flow from me out like that, so that I can be a channel for God to flow through. Because the idea, which is where we start to move from our relationship with God to responsibility, is that I bring the government of heaven everywhere that I go. When I walk into a room, I should change the atmosphere, because heaven should be flowing through me. So I need to make sure that all my past and all my blockages, coping mechanisms, are cleared out of the way. Now, I don't know what's going in your head when I say that. It might be, well, yes! It might be, not me. I couldn't do that. I couldn't make that difference. This is where we need to start lining what we're thinking, what we're feeling, with what God says. Because that's what God says. God says the river of life, that there's a river on the inside of me which is bubbling up, that the river of life flows through me. Does it? It needs to, because we are world changers. We need to see this world transformed. We need to see righteousness and justice and grace and mercy and healing and deliverance. We need to bring God's government. We need to be the ones that call the shot ruling. It all comes from, how do we see ourselves in this? What do we think God says? Am I stuck here? Am I just struggling enough to get through the day and actually I'm here and that's all about all I can do? There is so much more for us. And that's where we need to embrace, let our faith grow and rise, because this is not it. There's more. So much more. We know that this world is going to be transformed. God has called you and me to be the ones that transform it. It's very exciting. But it needs us to change and surrender and take on what God says about us. So, take a look at yourself. Take a step back. What's your part in that? Could you have a part? Again, I think I remember these verses, Martin. I've just got verses because they're supposed to come up now. But it's the verse of Jeremiah. It says, before I formed you, I knew you. God always knew you. He always knew me. And in Psalm 139, where it says about being created with a scroll, there's a book written about each one of us with a destiny on it. Either we can settle for where we are right now, or we can say, actually, I choose to believe what God says about me, that he can equip me, that he can enable me to fulfill my purpose, that I have a destiny. We can start to take hold of that by faith, and we can start to agree with it, and we will see ourselves start to be changed. Isaiah 61 says, you know, Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. It's our core scripture for being here, but actually we need to take it one step further. Because once I'm, my broken heart's bound up, once I'm no longer captive, once I'm set free, once God has done his work in me, what does he want me to do? He wants me to give it away. Anything that God has done in my life, I can give away. And that's what we're called to do. Freely we've received, freely give. We're blessed to be a blessing. So God's got that for us. So we need to grow our spirit and really enter into the new spiritual realms that God is revealing all the time. Read the stories in the Bible. Imagine yourself in them. Noah and Moses and all these men of great faith. Hebrews is an amazing book that talks about people of faith and what they did. And it's like Doug, when he was saying his testimony with the seagull, he looked at lions, he looked at ravens, he looked at all sorts of things, and it built his faith, and he thought, well, God can do that for me then. So he dealt with seagulls by crows. Who'd have thought? There is so much more for us. So we can claim these things, start speaking life, expanding our experience will increase our faith and taking that on the inside of us. When we pray here and we enter into the spiritual realm, you know, we're not seeing with our physical eyes what we experience in our spirits. We often pray and we put crowns on people's heads. We put robes of righteousness on. We give people scepters of authority, a ring to signify sonship. There are so many things that are going on in the spiritual realm all the time. We have healing pools here. We have fire tunnels. It's not often that we physically see it, although we will more and more, but we're engaging our spirits. We're engaging our faith. And that's what we need to do more so that it becomes normal for us. You know, I want to see angels wandering around. I know angels are here. And I have my angels, and I experience angels. They find things for me all the time. I want to see normally that realm. But to do that, we need to be training ourselves and being transformed. Children, tiny children, they engage in that spirit realm. And they reckon by about 4, it's probably starting to wear off. We need to come like children. We need to make it simple. We so complicate things. The things that we do here, we need to take into our private times, and we need to develop them in those encounters, because that's the thing that will make a difference to us. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is just ask God to show you, where are you vulnerable in these things? Where can the enemy trip you up? Where can the enemy rob you of what God wants for you through unbelief, doubt, and fear? Is it self-worth? Is it to do with how you see yourself? Because if you have low self-worth and self-esteem, it would be very difficult for you to believe that God's got good things for you. Is it fear? Is it guilt? Because that will rob you of faith, because it will say, well, who do you think you are? Condemnation and shame. Are there health things where you have mindsets or things set that will rob you of faith for healing? Is it finance? Are we living in a poverty mentality? Is there stuff there that God wants to break us through so that we can live in faith? Family situations where we live in hopelessness because we can't see that God could do certain things. Stepping out, our destiny. Are there things in place which stop you believing that you have a destiny, a plan, and a purpose in God? Each one of us here, there is so much more for us. Let's not be robbed of that anymore. What are the blockages in our lives? For me, a huge one, when God told me that I was, I had some authority on the Good News Mountain, he said that I lived under hopelessness in very various situations. And if I was going to have authority to see other people come into Good News and to release it, I needed to deal with my own hopelessness, because that was a blocker of faith to see other people come free. So for me, that was a big thing that God needed to deal with. But he did. And now, here I am, bringing Good News. There's nothing that the enemy can stop us if we allow God freedom to do what he wants to do in our lives. So what I'd like to do now is for us to step into heaven together. So let's close our eyes and focus on the screen. Our imagination and see steps leading from us up to heaven, and as we walk up these steps, Jesus is standing there in the doorway. Jesus is our way into the heavenly realms. He gives us access, and by walking in faith through the doorway, through Jesus, we are walking through the cross. And the cross is a place of exchange. And I would encourage you now to give to Jesus any hindrances, any mistrust, any disappointments, anything that God has shown you that would be a hindrance to believing what God says about you, to believing that God has good things for you, that you have a destiny, any blockages that will prevent you walking in faith according to what God says. I encourage you now to hand those things to Jesus. And if you need to stay there and speak with him, then that's fine. For those who feel they have done that, if you want to walk through and head into that green, lush meadow and sit and talk with Jesus, he has a scroll that he wants to give you. Which you can look at with him, which is what he says about you, what God says about you, about who you are. You to receive words of life and truth and embrace them. If you can open your scroll and read what's on it, for some of you it might be what God has for you, and it might be words of love and affirmation. Take hold of those and put them deep on the inside of them, plant them in the garden in your heart and see them transform you. Build your spirit that you can walk according to what God says and not be shaped by our natural circumstances.